If you have a Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. And I just want to say, didn't the band sound good this morning? I certainly appreciate them. Well, this morning I want to talk to you on the way of happiness. Do you think anybody struggles with being happy in their life? No, it's a different crowd, isn't it? And the truth of it is that we must stop and pause and reconsider what true happiness is. And I think, as I said in the first service, too many Christians have drank the Kool-Aid of the world, and it's infected the church and our way of thinking about what happiness is. Deion Sanders, you may remember him for playing the Cowboys, and when he won was a part of winning the Super Bowl, he said, "It was not what I thought it would be. It was a really, really big letdown." Because if you dream of achieving something, and then when you get it, then what do you have to look forward to after that? Rob Smets, if you're familiar with the rodeo world, also called the Kamikaze Kid, one of the toughest men in rodeo that you'll find. He was a five-time world champion bullfighter, and he said after he won it five times, he said, "I thought, where's the meaning in all this? Where's the meaning in life?" And it made him be introspective, and now he serves the Lord. G.K. Chesterton once said, "The loneliest and most meaningless place in existence is not the weariness of pain, it is the weariness of pleasure." The loneliest and most meaningless place in existence is not the weariness of pain, it's the weariness of pleasure. That may sound funny, but when we experience pain, we then often look for what? Pleasure. But when we have everything our heart we thought would satisfy our heart, and we're left empty afterwards, where do we turn from there? And so oftentimes, we today in our society confuse pleasure with happiness, and the two are not synonymous. Amen? The happiness, though, that the Bible speaks about is not of pleasure, but rather, or is not a condition of events. How many times we think if the stars would align, if these events would go our way, we would be happy. But the Bible doesn't speak of happiness in those terms. But rather, the Bible speaks of happiness as a direction of life, a state of mind and heart correlated with the will of God. I want to say that again. The Bible doesn't speak of happiness as a condition of events, but rather as a direction of life and a state of mind and heart that is correlated with the will of God. That is true happiness. And the reason that many of us find ourselves constantly at the well of unhappiness is because that which we're seeking to find happiness has gone dry. If you look at the opening passage of Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the word "blessed" there is often interpreted in other translations as happiness. That's really what that word means, is happiness. Blessed are, or happy are, the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You say, what? Poor in spirit. What is he talking about? Humility. Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. How many of us are so focused on achieving some sense of self-gratification that we don't even pause to think how ungodly our world is right now? How we're so engulfed with the world that we forget that a sense of frustration to the world, because the world is right now going so opposite of anything that is holy and good. Amen? Blessed are the meek, or happy are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Happy are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And then you get down to this last one. Happy are those who are persecuted. Say, what? Happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to say, blessed are you, or happy are you, when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Now, if you looked at on the surface, you don't go, that don't sound too happy, right? And let me just clarify one statement. It says, Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And that is Jesus speaking, not because of you, right? Sometimes we're just jerks and people say insultful things to us, right? But when we're living for Christ and they're taking up our charge, he says, rejoice and be glad. Rejoicing is a choice. To worship God is a choice. To be happy is a choice. Because it is a state of mind and heart that is surrendered to the will of God. But how many of us go, I just wish we could be happy, because you're hoping that the events of life may, the cards, as we often say, may fall your direction. And that is not a biblical understanding of happiness. Many today are searching for happiness through empty vessels because happiness does not exist apart from meaning in life. How many of us are searching for true meaning in our life? We've bought into the American dream, which has quickly become the American nightmare. We've gotten what we thought would make us happy, and we're still left empty. And we're wondering, where do we go to next? But the meaning of life only comes through the lenses of our Creator. Therefore, you can never have happiness apart from God. Amen? You can never have happiness apart from God. Listen to what Helen Keller once said. Many persons have a wrong idea of what constitutes true happiness. It is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose. But fidelity or faithfulness to a worthy purpose. And what greater purpose is there than the gospel of Jesus? Amen? So let's look at what the psalmist says in Psalms chapter 1. How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not survive the judgment, and sinners will not be in the community of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. May God bless the reading of his word. The first thing to mention here on the way to happiness is that we must consider our parameter of peers. Now, as Christians, as believers, we're called to be lights in the world, and we're to mix it up with every race, religion, denomination, whatever division there is. We are to be in amongst the company, sharing the good news of Jesus. Amen? But we also must consider, when it comes decision time in our life, who are we seeking advice from? Who are we seeking advice from? Now, I said first service, I've never shared this, but this is kind of a personal motto. I want to be a friend to everybody, but I don't let everyone become a friend to me. And what do I mean by that? I don't go seeking just anybody's advice. There are qualifications before I ask you, what do you think about something? But how many of us are quick to go, well, what do you think? And we've never asked, are they qualified to answer? Right? As a counselor, it always, you know, kind of threw me a loop when you would say to somebody that you're working with, you know, struggling with addiction, and they would say, well, I, who's your sponsor? Well, so-and-so. Well, how long has he been in recovery? 5 days. Well, how long have you been in recovery? 3. Now, if you've been familiar with recovery, you'll know how funny that is, but how true it is. Do we ask people who are not qualified to give us advice, and we're quick to get that advice and make decisions and changes in our life based on people's advice that they are not qualified to give? I mean, I'm telling you, it's job security for a counselor, because it's a downward spiral and there is no shortage of clients. But how often are we all guilty of this? We seek advice because we're often looking for people to tell us what we want to hear, kind of like what Paul tells Timothy. We gather for themselves, you know, people who will tell us what our itching ears want to hear and not the truth, which we're going to come to in a second. If you look at what the psalmist says, he says, don't follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. You could take those three groups and you could see a lot of our society in those three groups. Amen? But how often are we quick to ask advice and to seek truth where truth is not appreciated? Now again, as we go out and share, we're going to be friends, like, and what I'm saying, we're going to build relationships with people. But But just because we build relationships to share the good news and to love people don't mean they may be the source or the authority we need to draw from when we're seeking advice in our own life. Amen? We need to find people that are going in the direction that we are called to go in, and that is the way of Christ. The psalmist warns us that happiness is not found in the advice of the wicked, the path of sinners, or hanging in a group of mockers. And you say, how do you know that? Because if you've ever asked advice from those three groups, you already know that. Amen? It perpetuates. As a person who has counseled many, I'm amazed at how quick we ask advice from those we've never qualified. So let me ask you, who are the peers in your life that you seek counsel from? Are you seeking counsel from people who are pointing you in the direction of Jesus? Are you seeking counsel from people who will only perpetuate the problems you already now have? It's a no-brainer to me why so many people are unhappy, because a lot of times they're asking advice from people who are not going to hold them accountable. I mean, how many of us in here go, hey, I want to change? Anybody in here just jump at the chance to change? You remember that line in Lonesome Dove when Gus was calling out Colin? He goes, well, when's the last time you changed? But we all need to have that person or persons in our life grounded in God's word who says, you know what? There's an area of your life you need to change. Are you willing to do so? But oftentimes we gather around for ourselves people who only tell us what we want to hear, and they won't confront us and how unloving that is. So the first thing the psalmist says is, who's the parameter of your peers that you hang out with? Secondly, he confronts our passionate truth, our passionate pursuits. He says, instead. What does that mean? Instead of this, that. Instead of hanging out asking advice from people who aren't qualified, they are going to the one true qualifier, God himself. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's truth or the Lord's instruction. Let me ask you, what lights your fire in life? What creates your passion? If it's other than Jesus, you got a priority fix that you need to address. I'm not saying that Christ doesn't give us other passions in life, but it's got to begin and end with Jesus himself. Amen? That he has got to be our true passion in life. The way of happiness is the pursuit of the great passion, God himself. The psalmist states that the happy one is the one who delights. I don't know about you, but when I've read my Bible, and I've read it many times, but when I discover something new about the Lord or something a little further into God's character, does it make you excited? Does it light your fire? It does mine. Y'all okay out there? Y'all look a little bit like, just want to check in with you guys. Breathe in, breathe out, right? But the truth of it is that we get passionate and excited about all sorts of things, and we're like, I know I need some Jesus and everything. I know, Jeff. No, he's got to be the center of our life. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. The reason there are so many people who are miserable in life today is because the erosion of the value of truth. What is the Lord's instruction? Truth itself. And when we separate ourselves or distance ourselves from truth, guess what? We give more space for misery to dwell. When we separate ourselves or distance ourselves from God's truth, we give more space in our life for misery to dwell. Amen? I mean, you don't have to live very long in a selfish attitude to figure that out. I mean, I can wreck my life in 2.9 nanoseconds. And when I look at my own story and when I look at my own life, and the times that I've been the most unhappy were the times that I thought I could create my own happiness. And when I was doing it as old Blue Eyes used to sing, my way. Man, I can wreck life out. I can tear up an anvil. The Lord's instruction is truth. And the more we distance ourselves, and the reason that you see so many people in life today who are miserable, who are absolutely miserable, who have it all, is because they don't have the very one thing that their heart was created for, and that's God himself. And the reason you see so many Christians who are miserable is because they've got so many other things that are more important to them than Jesus. That's a fact. And it doesn't mean that we can't have other endeavors, but God has to be the center of all endeavors for a believer. So many people, they don't want Christianity, they want Christianity light, right? They like a little taste of it, but they don't want all of it. They don't want to have to give over complete control to God. And the one thing that I absolutely miss, I'll be honest with you about the treatment world, I was talking to Trista about this on the way up here this morning, is that in the treatment world, in rehab, people would get to a place of despair, not all people, but people get to a place of despair where they were actually saying, whatever it is, get it out of my life. I know I got to do something different. That there's a level of surrender I've seen in the treatment world that I have not seen in church, to be quite honest with you, where we're getting to the nuts and bolts. And you're talking about getting politically incorrect is when you start getting down to a level of surrender that we all need in our life. Amen? What is your passionate pursuit? Listen, I can't say the last name. Francis Frangipang. Sounds like orangutan to me. But whatever. Hope they're not listening. God bless you and pray for your kids. Christ's life unfolds in part as we learn to appreciate the gifts he has given us. How easy it is to blame others for our unhappiness. But we are only unhappy when something other than Christ has become our life. For example, the husband or wife who has Christ as their life comes to their spousal relationship already satisfied. They do not come continually looking to be made happy by another person's attention. They bring Christ's life to their spouse. Is that your relationship? And whether it's your spouse, your kids, your parents, your job, we must bring Christ to it. But we've bought Hollywood's junk saying that somebody else completes me. That is complete crap. Nobody completes you except for God because you were created only for God. Amen? The third thing, priorities in place. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. It's another way of saying he hangs with God in the morning and in the evening. And let me just say this, there's no better way, and I'm speaking to myself as much as I am to anybody, there's no better way to start your day than to spend time with the one who created it. Amen? There's no better way to start your day than to hang with the one who created it. And people will notoriously say this, well, Jeff, I just don't have the time. You know, I'm just so busy. Da-da-da-da-da. You ain't that busy. And you know why? Because you got the same amount of time anybody else does. It's what you choose to do with it. So don't come giving me that cockamamie excuse that you're just too busy. Let me just say this. I'm going to bust your bubble. You ain't that important. You ain't that important. And if you died today, the majority of the world wouldn't even know it. If I died today, the majority of the world wouldn't even know it. So quit telling me you ain't got the time. Because you got the time for anything else you want to do. But how dare us as believers not take time for the one who saved us? And then we want to sit on our high and mighties and our blessed assurance and we gripe about why America's not going in the direction America's going. It ain't because sinful people got more sinful. It's because Christians dimmed the light. And what happens when the light of the world goes dark? What do you think the rest of the room is going to look like? Right? And it comes down to our priorities. Do you love yourself more than you love Christ? And the answer that most all of us can easily say in most or all areas is yes, I do. Right? Absolutely. Now, I know some of you come for the fun and the warm fuzzies this morning. It ain't going to happen. Don't blame me. I'm just trying to relate to you what the psalmist says. There's no better way to set all other priorities than the priority through Christ. How many times have I heard Christians say, you know, Jeff, this is the direction I'm going in, and they're trying to fit God in there somewhere. And then we'll be so arrogant sometimes, been there myself, where we go, God, you know, last week you were at number 8 in the priority list, you're up to 6, yay you. How many of us are guilty of that? You see, Jesus is the mark in which we set all other priorities. Not, we don't try to fit God into what we've already scheduled. It's pretty revealing how arrogant we can be. And notice that the psalmist says, the morning is a great place to start with God, and the evening is a great place to end. Sounds kind of like Genesis chapter 1. And there was evening and morning, the first day, the second day, the third day. If you're familiar with the 12 steps, step 10, we recount. We do our check-ins. And it's considering. You remember there was an old song that you may have sang in your church. I know I sang in a church I grew up in. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. How many of us fail to do that very thing? Because we have bought the Kool-Aid that everything has to be at mock speed in life. Everything's just a blur. And think about this. How many of us will go, well, you know, well, Jeff, I do this, but I'm always busy, you know, and I'm in the car doing this. I'm not saying you can't listen to the Bible in the car. Please don't read it in the car. If you're driving. And I'm not saying you can't, you know, spend time in prayer. But I'm going to challenge you, as well as myself, spend time with God, a little bit of time with God each day, doing nothing else but focusing on Him. Because how would you like it if every relationship in your life in which you came in contact with another, they were always consumed with doing something else while they were trying to relate to you? How well would that relationship go? We must learn to be still, amen, and know that He is God. Because if He, eternity itself, will take the time to become one of us and save us, who am I to give Him a flippant amount of time going, you know, God, I'll get with you. I'm going to have to be doing this, but, you know, catch on the wagon train when you can. How arrogant is that? Amen? Or on me? Does that make sense? We must spend time with Him. The fourth thing, learn that prosperity in righteousness is better than prosperity in riches. Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. That there is a sense of prosperity in righteousness, not riches. What does He say here? He is like the person. He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now, many of us, we have our own agenda and we're like, this is what we're going to do. And God, hey, can you get on board and bless me with that? How many of us pray that kind of prayer to God? And we never check in going, hey, God, do I have your permission to do any of this? You see, the reason that so many of us, and I work with literally thousands who could have bought me and sold me a billion times over, who were absolutely miserable because they were prosperous in riches but not in righteousness. And riches will only last a short while, but righteousness will last forever. Happiness comes from rethinking what success is in life and how quickly the American dream can turn into the American nightmare. Roots in righteousness will give us stability that riches can never provide. And if you want to know what God says is a fruitful life, be righteous. Seek righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Think of the word satisfaction. And we often sing that song, I can't get no satisfaction. Right? And here's why. Because we're thinking, if only I could have that one more dollar, that one more vehicle, that one more, and we're never satisfied with what we have. Are you satisfied with what you have? Because that's for true wealth. I won't name the name, But a wealthy person once said, he says that happiness is not having something else, it's being satisfied with what you have. Are you satisfied? Are you fulfilled? Are you content? Because do you think contentment has anything to do with our happiness? Absolutely. And the last and final thing, not only do we see that happiness, the way of happiness, lies in the peers we hang with or seek counsel from, not just hang with, our passionate pursuits, the priorities of our life, the prosperity, what we define as prosperous in life, but living in the protection of God. That last phrase says, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin." In a world where it seems anything unrighteous and unholy rules the day, we must remember in the end, those who love wickedness will not win. When you watch the news, my gosh, it can be so depressing. I mean, if you want to absolutely start hating life, watch the news. And to see what junk there is out there. And the things that we're debating, holy, I mean, seriously. I saw one deal on Facebook, and I do agree with it. Whatever you think about the whole border wall thing, it says people are debating whether a wall is immoral while we killing babies at astronomical numbers. You know, the greatest Holocaust of all time is right here in America's abortion clinics. And thank God that those who have walked through those doors and have had an abortion, there is forgiveness for them. We can't ever forget to preach that too. Because you know what? That sin ain't no different than the sin that often nobody knows about that's in my mind or in my heart or in your mind and in your heart. Amen? But it's amazing to me how we don't treasure things anymore. There's nothing sacred anymore. We don't hold space for the divine anymore. Just exactly what Mark was talking about earlier. But there is a protection from God. That to know that when all hell is breaking loose and everything seems to be going south, God has always got our back. That God has always got our back, and no matter how wicked we think life is becoming, there's no new sins. There are just some sins that are getting a little bit greater advertisement than others. Amen? And that we have a God who saw it all, and this... You realize that God has no aha moments, going, man, and the humans, they're really getting bad now. No, God saw this from beginning to end, and he still stepped into the timeline to die for you and me. There is a happiness in life knowing that God watches over us. That is not to say that life may not bring us hardship, but whatever hardship there is, God will see us through it. God will see us through it. Even death itself, amen? And there is a hope that sustains the heart, knowing that we stand to inherit a world where anything that is sinful one day will be no more. Will one day be no more. I close with two quotes. C.S. Lewis said, "There is a kind of happiness and wonder that makes you serious. It is too good to waste on jokes." Let me say this, growing up in East Texas culture, we're a happy, clappy, joking kind of a culture. Are we not? We can find humor in anything. And that's okay. But there's also an important time to think about the serious things of life. And the happiness and the joy that we have in Christ, knowing that if even the war, when death waged war on us as an individual, and as the old song, "Time will be no more," there's still a beginning on the other side. There's still an assurance on the other side. And that we need to start as Christians making decisions not from the right here and the right now, but knowing that if you're a believer, you will never die, even though your body may cease to be. Isn't that amazing? That God has us in the darkest hour. And David Brainerd says, "If you hope for happiness in the world, hope for it from God and not from the world." And the reason I believe that there's so many new diagnosis out there. It's simply because we're looking for something to satisfy that was never meant to satisfy. Our heart was not made for anybody else in this room except for God. And when we begin to let our heart be satisfied in Him, there will be a happiness and a joy that even when we have to bury a loved one, we have the assurance that God has our back. Amen? And until we begin to turn our perspective and our focus around and stop living like the rest of the world, we'll never find the happiness that is ours in Jesus. And I pray that we all take that way. Amen? All right, let's close with prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the men and women in this room, my brothers and sisters. And I pray that you would be with them this week. And Lord, whatever is going on in their life, whatever, Lord, whatever they may face, I just pray that you would help them walk through that. We know that you will. I thank you for this psalm this morning, Lord. It's confronting. And I just pray, God, that we take it in stride to help us, Lord, to see, Lord, where we fit into this. And Lord, may your spirit give us discernment, Lord, to help us understand that the reason that we might be failing in a sense of happiness is because our focus may be elsewhere. We may think it's you. We may say it's you. But in reality, it may not be. Help us, Lord, to seek you with everything we have. Help us to love the world as you loved us. Help us to speak truth in love. And help us to be gracious in the message of the gospel. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week.